Join me in prayer, please. Father, we do thank you for the joy that we have in our salvation. We thank you that we've been forgiven, we've been accepted, we've been adopted. And we just give you all the glory. I pray, Lord, that as we open our Bibles and continue our study in Hebrews, that you would speak to us, that you continue to mold and shape us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our study of verse 32 and through 35. And this is our last Sunday, believe it or not, as we've looked at each of these individually. And if you'll read along with me, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again." So we are completing our group of verses. In verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. And there are a couple of examples of this in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that we could use. We could look at Elijah, and we could also look at Elisha. And this morning, we're going to look at Elijah in 1 Kings 17. We're going to look at the whole chapter. And in looking at Elijah in 1 Kings 17, there are great lessons to learn of faith, both in the life of Elijah and also in the life of the widow in which he raised her son from the dead. And as we begin the chapter, the first thing that I want to point out is I want to make emphasis of a dried up brook. Join with me in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" Naturally, that would not make people very happy, that you were fixing to enter into a very prolonged period of drought. And in verse 2, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." As we talk about in Hebrews chapter 11 of living your life by faith, I mentioned last week that in the Bible it says that we walk by faith. It doesn't say sit, it doesn't say rest, it doesn't say sleep. We walk by faith, and that walk points to a progression, to movement, that God is continually dealing with us. And here in the life of Elijah, you see that he stepped out in faith, he did exactly what the Lord told him, and then the brook dried up. See, things change. And you'll see in verse 8 that after the brook dried up, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" We walk by faith. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same in any other aspect of our life, right? I mean, nothing stays the same at work. Nothing stays the same with families as our families grow up and mature and progress and life changes, and nothing stays the same in the culture in which we live in. We walk by faith because just as everything around us changes, God wants us to walk. He wants us to progress. And here we see in a physical sense, and as I pointed out in Hebrews chapter 11, all of these examples that God gives us, there is a physical example, and then there is a spiritual example. And here we see with Elijah, God told him after the brook dried up, get up and leave. It's changed. You're in a different environment. All throughout the Bible, we have great examples that point out that we walk by faith. One that we're very familiar with is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Well, if He's leading you beside still waters, you're walking, aren't you? You're not resting beside the still waters, you're progressing. And then He goes on in Psalm 23, and it says that He restores my soul. Again, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Leads, progression. In verse 4, it reads, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now I want you to think about these four verses in Psalm 23. And we have an example of walking by still waters. We have an example of walking in the paths of righteousness. And we have an example of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Regardless of the environment, regardless of where you find yourself, God is walking with you. We are to walk by faith and rest in the power of God. And just as Elijah was being provided for at the brook, and the situation changed and the brook dried up, he was walking with the Lord and he had faith in God, and God told him, get up and go, and you're going to find this widow. And that is exactly what Elijah did. And we go from a dried up brook to an empty flour bin. Let's go to verse 10. So he arose and went. God told him. He did it. He arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. I love how that's recorded. It's almost an element of surprise. Isn't that funny when God tells us to do something and we are surprised? Well, gee, God gave me direction and told me to do this, and lo and behold, that's actually what happened. That's the result of what we have when we walk by faith. He said that a widow is going to be there, and in verse 10 it says, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he, referring to Elijah, called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Let's give some time here and think about the context that this is written in. There's a drought going on. It's not raining. The brook had already dried up. So here they are in the middle of a drought, and Elijah asked for water. Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Now paint a visual picture as we go through verse 11. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And you look at verse 12 and you look at her response. As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. They're at the end of their rope. They barely have any flour. They barely have any water. They're preparing for death. But look at Elijah's response in verse 13. Do not fear. Go and do as you've said. But make me a small cake from it at first and bring it to me. And afterwards, he's not saying give me the leftovers. Make me a small cake first and afterwards make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. That's a mighty proclamation, isn't it? All you got left is this little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And this guy shows up on the scene and says, make mine first. After that, prepare you some. Talk about an act of faith. Look at verse 15. Look at her response. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now, I want you to think about this empty flour bin for a moment. It's not like they got years of supply. It was daily. They went daily and found enough for the day. See, we're to live by faith daily. Sometimes people that are believers, they live by faith on a Sunday. But that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live daily. We're supposed to walk daily. We're supposed to rest in Him daily. And there's lots of other examples in the Bible where God wants us to have a daily walk, a daily reliance. In Exodus 16, as God provides manna for the children of Israel, He tells them in verse 4, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not, and it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily, so that they would honor the Sabbath. A daily provision, a daily walk. In Matthew 11, as Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants a relationship with us daily. He wants us to exercise our faith with Him daily. He doesn't want one day or 1 hour out of the week. He wants us every moment of the day, 7 days a week. Now let's think about this. Back to Elijah and the widow. Can you imagine every day you go to this bin and the rest of the world that you know is in the middle of a famine and a drought? And every day they open up the bin and there God has provided for their daily needs. Day in, day out, just as God provided. Can you imagine what that would do to your faith? It would build it, wouldn't it? When you rest in the Lord and you see God at work, and we're no different, when we rest in the Lord and we trust in Him and we walk with Him, our faith is built up because we see God in action. It's no different for us, as Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:19. He says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God shall supply all your needs. It doesn't say that God shall supply all our wants, but He shall supply all our needs. We're to rest in that. We're to walk in that. We're to be like the widow and have faith. And so as they go to the bin on a daily basis and God is providing for them, we then get to my third point, an empty life. A dry brook, an empty flower bin, and now we get to an empty life. When you look at verse 17 of 1 Kings 17, it says, "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?' And he said to her, 'Give me your son.' So she took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?' And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.' Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth.'" I agree with Vernon McGee in his commentaries. He said this woman was a woman of faith at the flower bin. She had a crisis of faith. We're not immune to that, are we? Where we have a crisis in faith. Where we doubt God, even though that He has delivered and provided for us for all of these years, and we hit that moment in our life and say, "What's going on here? Why am I going through this? Why am I enduring this?" This is where we find the widow, at that empty life. See, my point is that all throughout the chapter you see emptiness. The water ran out. At the flower bin there looked like there was no hope. With the widow, she faced an empty life as she stared at the dead body of her son. The spiritual truth of that is when we recognize our emptiness, when we recognize that we do not have the power to fix things, we experience God in faith. It reminded me of Paul in Romans 7, when he finds himself spiritually in a very frustrating place. In verse 21 of Romans 7, it says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Look at Paul's realization in verse 24. O wretched man that I am. He said, I'm empty. And then he asked this question, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now I want to make an important point of this because some people say, oh, this was Paul before he met God. It's kind of like a testimony before. This isn't the case because he's writing it in the present tense. This is Paul as a believer. This is Paul in a crisis in his life. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But then look at the statement of faith. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's Christ. It's Christ who meets us in our emptiness. It's Christ who meets us at the dry brook. It's Christ who meets us at the empty flower bin. It's Christ who meets us at the empty life. It's when we empty ourselves and turn our life over to Jesus Christ that we find Him in His completeness. Paul, again, in Philippians chapter 2, said this in verse 5, let this mind be in you. That's us. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In another translation where it says he, referring to Jesus, humbling himself, it says he emptied. He emptied himself. See, that's what we're to do as believers. We're to empty ourselves. We're to continue to do that. The Bible says that we are to die daily. That's what Paul said. Die daily. We should empty ourselves every day. We should turn our life over in faith to a God who loves us and cares for us. And just as the widow was provided every single day, we as believers can have this confidence that just as Paul said in Philippians, that he will supply all our needs, and we can have those when we walk in faith with Him. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just thank You for this wonderful example in Scripture. And I just pray, Lord, that we might empty ourselves, that we might turn over everything to You, that we might rest in You, that we might have the confidence in You, that knowing that You love us, and You want the best for us, I just pray that we'd rest in that and that we would be an example of someone walking obediently by faith. I pray that we would be a testimony and an example to others so that they might walk by faith as well. In Jesus' name, amen.